Hey, welcome to the Vineyard, everybody. Welcome to those of you joining us online, wherever you're watching from, whatever place or space you might be in today, whether it's the cold central part of our country or whether you're here in South Florida in 80 degrees. So glad you're with us today, and happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And so just want to have a little Valentine's Day fun. I found a couple of cards, Valentine's Day cards, I thought you might enjoy seeing. Here's the first one for all the Star Wars fans out there. Yoda, one for me. I got one more. I got another one. So for all of you that have been married for a few years, here's a Valentine's Day card for you. I still love you. Even though you never replace the toilet paper, I still love you. And finally, I got one last one for all the single people that are joining us today. Here you go. I am still single on Valentine's Day because I have not yet met someone who can handle all my awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So this weekend, we're continuing our series called 23andMe, which is not a series on DNA testing. But it is a series on the most popular chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. Even if you've never been to church before, chances are you've probably heard of Psalm 23. It goes like this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me." And I want us to read that last line together with great Valentine's Day enthusiasm. Ready? Out loud together. Ready? "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That was not great enthusiasm. So let's try it again with great enthusiasm. Ready? "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's a whole lot better. Now, what in the world does that mean? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's a rod? And who knew God had a staff? I mean, who is it? The angels? I mean, who knew? So I actually have a rod and a staff with me today. Here they are. A rod, and a staff. Now, most of you are familiar with the staff. You've ever seen a Christmas pageant or Christmas play with kids? You say they got a staff. But most people are not familiar with this one, the rod. Now, a shepherd back in the day would carry both. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, let me start with the rod, okay? This is a rod. Not to get confused with A-Rod, who's a former baseball player engaged to J-Lo. Okay, that's somebody else. That's something totally different. This is a rod. Every shepherd would carry with them a rod. And what the shepherd would do for this, they would use this for protection for the sheep. It was basically a stick, but it's a strong stick. And they would use this to protect the sheep. Now, if you were with us through this series back in week one, we talked about how sheep are very defenseless animals. Think about it, a sheep. They don't have any sharp claws. They don't have any sharp teeth. They don't have any horns. The only thing a sheep can do to protect themselves is baa, and that ain't much protection. So the shepherd protects the sheep with the rod against predators, against enemies, against wild animals and wolves and coyotes and everything else. They would beat them off with the rod. They protect the sheep. And do you know what? The good shepherd God is still protecting you all the time. So many times we're not aware of the fact that God is protecting us all the time. You know, sometimes we get a lot of our spirituality from pop culture, which is not always good. But in this case, pop culture talks sometimes about guardian angels. That's a real thing. The Bible speaks about guardian angels, that there are angels that guard us, that protect us. And God protects us all the time. So the rod, every shepherd carried a rod for protection. And God does the same thing for us. The good shepherd protects us. So that's the rod. And then you got the staff. Every shepherd carried a staff. This one's a little shorter than I think some might be, but this was the best Amazon could deliver for us. So we got a staff. Now, here's the thing with sheep. Sheep tend to wander, just like you and me. Tend to wander. And sheep wander off. So the shepherd, what the shepherd does is, and sheep, I don't know if you know that, but sheep would, as often as you think of sheep grazing, you think they graze on flat land. That's not the case. Sheep often would graze on very hilly, mountainous hillsides, on steep terrain. And sheep are not the smartest animals in the animal kingdom. Hate to break it to you, because the Bible compares us to sheep. Sheep, they'd be eating. They'd get to the edge of the cliff, and oftentimes sheep would just fall right off. They would die. They'd fall off the edge. So the shepherd with this, the staff with this crook on the end, they'd reach out, they'd see him on the edge, they'd grab him, and then pull him back in. That's how the shepherd would use this. The staff would guide. This is an instrument of love and compassion, because they care for the sheep. They're going to love them and care for them in compassion and bring them back in. So the rod is for protection. The staff is for love and compassion. And the shepherd would use both. So look what it says. I love this next verse, what it says in John chapter 10. It says, Jesus said, I came so that my sheep will have life and everything they need. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And so today, I just want to talk just practically today for just a few moments about what does this mean for you and me today? The rod and the staff, they comfort me. What does this mean for you and me today? So I want to invite you to locate an outline. Now you can locate an outline by downloading our Miami Vineyard app to your phone. If you haven't done that yet, there's a QR code coming up on screen. If you're online today, your online host can tell you to do that very simply. Just scan the QR code. If you're in this room, there's also a QR code in that seat back and there in front of you. You can scan the code. On there is the outline. And you can actually type in the answers right in the outline as we go. It's both in English and in Spanish. And so here we go. Let me give you a couple things today, what this means for you and me. How the rod and the staff, they comfort me. How does that show me love and compassion? So here's the first one. If I bring him my hurts, meaning Jesus. If I bring Jesus my hurts, Jesus shows me compassion. If I bring him my hurts, my problems, my stuff, my issues, my worries, my fears, Jesus gives me his attention and shows me his compassion. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever called anybody, FaceTimed anybody, been with anybody, where you could tell by their body language and by the tone of their voice that you were bothering them? Online, if you ever had that happen to you, just put the word bother in the chat. But here in this room, if you've ever felt like you were like in a conversation with somebody and like you were bothering them, let me see your hands. You felt like you were bothering them. Yeah. So recently, I called my insurance agent. Now, I'm not going to say the name of the insurance company because I want to protect the guilty. But I called my insurance agent because I wanted to switch. I got a different car, and I wanted to put insurance on my car. So you would think that if I call an insurance agent, that's their business, that's what they do, they're in customer service, you would think that I wouldn't bother them, that that would be a good thing. I could tell you from the moment they answered the phone, I was bothering them. I'm thinking to myself, wait. You're in the customer service business. I'm going to purchase insurance from you. I'm going to give you a lot of money over the next 6 months. You should be happy I called. But no, I was bothering them. And I hung up the phone and I looked at my wife and I said, honey, that phone call was so bad that it made me feel like I never want to call them back again. Now, unfortunately, that's how some of us feel with God. We feel that somehow, whether somebody said something, whether we experienced something, something happened in our lives where we have felt that I never want to bother God again. Like I'm a bother to God. Can I tell you? You are never a bother to God. Never. ever a bother to God. In fact, look what Jesus said. Next words. Jesus said, come to me. Venga a mí. Come to me, come to me, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Hear me now today. In this room and joining us online, wherever you're joining us from around the world, you are never a bother to God. Never. Never a bother. But some of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor Kevin, you're never a bother. But okay, look, some of you, you're going, but Pastor Kevin, I bring the same stupid thing back to God all the time. It's like I mess up in the same way all the time, and I bring the same thing back to God all the time. I gotta be a bother. Look, you might be a bother to your spouse. You might be a bother to your family. You might be a bother to your coworkers, but you're never a bother to God. God says, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And anytime you hear a voice in your mind that says, oh, you're bothering God, you're bothering God, you're bothering God, guess where that voice came from? It didn't come from God. It came straight from the devil. And when you hear that voice in your mind that says, you're bothering God, you're bothering God, you tell that voice to go to hell. By the way, the devil's the only person you can say that to. I just want to clarify that. Just want to clarify that. He loves you. This good shepherd loves you. Not just on Valentine's Day, but every day of the year. He loves you. You are never a bother to God. Never a bother to God. Look at this next verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion because they were hurting and didn't know where to get help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. That verse just breaks my heart. Because Jesus looked out at the crowds and he could tell that people were hurting and they didn't know where to go. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. But notice what he says. He says his heart was filled with compassion. Let me explain that word for just a moment. Because there is a difference between sympathy, empathy, and compassion. All are good, but they're different degrees and they get a little better. Sympathy means I'm sorry you hurt. That's good. Look, at any time you can give somebody sympathy, that's a good thing. I'm sorry you hurt. Empathy takes it a step further. Empathy says, I hurt with you. So that's better. I hurt with you. But compassion says, I'm going to do something about it. See, sympathy says, I see you. Empathy says, I feel you. Compassion says, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. That's what Jesus did. When it says Jesus had compassion in the crowds, it wasn't he looked out and a tear came to his eye, although it may have. It wasn't just, I'm so sorry you hurt, or I feel your pain. It was, but it was so much more than that. He said, I'm going to do something about it. And that's what Jesus did. His whole life was filled with action. I want to do something about it. He healed. He restored. He forgave, he delivered, he raised the dead, and then he did the ultimate action and sacrifice. He gave his life for you and me. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He said, I see your hurt. I see your pain. I see the ache in your soul. I see the heavy burdens you're carrying, burdened down with sin. He says, I'm going to do something about it. He said, I'm going to give my life on a cross to forgive you from everything you've ever done wrong, to put you back on the path that you need to be on. That's what he did for us. That's compassion. Compassion is action. It says, I see you, I feel you, but I'm going to do something about you. And you know, I love what this church is doing when it comes to compassion. Now, I'm not saying we got it all right and we do it all right and we got it all together all the time, but I'm saying this. I love what this church does as far as compassion and helping them meet the needs of people in this city. And so what's happening this coming Saturday morning, what's happening is another one of our large drive-through food giveaways out here in our parking lot. There's going to be hundreds and hundreds of cars from this area around here. They're going to drive through and are going to get free food. And we're going to be serving and helping them deliver it and put it in their trunks as they drive through. I love what happens here. We try to do this once a month. And so this Saturday morning, but look, if you want to help, you can jump in and help if you'd like. So let me tell you how you can jump in. On the app, if you go to our app, on the app, the very top of the app, there's a button that says food giveaway. You tap on that food giveaway, it gives you a chance to sign up, and you can join us for this massive food giveaway this Saturday morning. There are still tons of people in this community that are still hurting. Food insecurity, they need some help. And this is a great opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus with compassion this Saturday morning. I just love what this church does in meeting the needs of this community. So number one says, how does Jesus treat his sheep? The rod and the staff, if I bring in my hurts, Jesus shows me his compassion. But here's number two, if you're taking notes. If I choose to follow him, Jesus leads me in the right direction. Now, I don't know how many of you have done any traveling during this pandemic. I know not many of us have done any traveling, but I'm sure before the pandemic, you probably did some traveling. In fact, if you're joining us online right now, if you just put online in the chat, your favorite destination where you love to travel, your favorite city, just put online right now. So, but you know, many of you have done some traveling and you've got a favorite place or a favorite city or a favorite destination. And you know, we oftentimes before we go to a place or go to a city, you know, you Google it, you learn a lot. But you know how you learn? You know, the best experience when you're in a new city is not Googling or Yelping or trying to figure out like that. Your best experience in a new city is to have a personal guide. About 10 years ago now, more or less, I traveled for the first time to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico. Any Boricuas in the house? Any? Okay, come on, let me hear it. Come on, Boricuas in the house. Okay. Yeah, I see you. I hear you. So we went to Puerto Rico. I went with a group of pastors from the Vineyard churches. And by the way, we have three vineyards in Puerto Rico. There's a vineyard in San Juan, there's a vineyard in Mayagüez, and there's a vineyard in Aguadilla, a brand new one in Aguadilla. So there's three vineyards in Puerto Rico. And so we went and we spent some time in San Juan. We traveled there and we spoke a little bit and did some encouraging, some teaching to the pastors there in Puerto Rico. And we stayed there for a few days and then the pastors went back to wherever they came from. And for some reason, I don't know, my flights or whatever, but anyway, I stayed an extra day and I was going to just use that day to visit and kind of tour and kind of get to know San Juan. But what I didn't know is there was another pastor that didn't go back early. He stayed an extra day. But this pastor's name was Ray Maldonado. And Ray lives in the States, but Ray grew up in San Juan. And he said to me, he said, hey, Kevin, how would you like it if tomorrow we hang out together and I get to be your personal guide? I said, dude, that'd be awesome. So the next day, Ray was my personal guide. He showed me all over San Juan. He took me taxis and Ubers and this and that. We went to some big fort someplace. He told me all the story about the fort. Then he took me to old San Juan. I mean, he was taking me to places and spaces that didn't even make Google Maps. I mean, you couldn't get a Yelp review on it because it didn't even locate it. He was taking me to all these places, old towns, seeing all these. And then we walked into this restaurant and it didn't even make the map. But it was like a hole in the wall restaurant, but he knew about it. And he walks into the place and everybody knows him and they're bringing all this food out, this crazy mofongo and all this other kind of stuff. And then, I mean, just lots of stuff just bringing out. The food was crazy good. And then they're bringing out stuff to drink as well. And Ray said, don't ask questions, just drink it. And I drank it. It was good. I'm not quite sure what was in it, but I didn't ask. All I know is it was good. And I'm telling you, my experience of San Juan was so much better because I had a personal guide. Do you realize that Jesus Christ wants to be your personal guide through life? Your life is going to be so much better because you have Jesus Christ as your personal guide. So much better. You see, so many times, you know, a lot of people, you know, they go, oh, you know, Pastor Kevin, you know, I'm on it, man. I'm a gamer. I'm a foodie. I'm a traveler. I'm this, I'm that. Okay, that's good. Okay, good. You're in the culture. But how are you doing spiritually? Because we need, when Jesus Christ is a personal guide, there's so much See, if I would have just went through San Juan with just myself and just Google or whatever, there would be so much I would miss. There's so much of our spiritual life and our journey in this world that we miss when Jesus Christ is not our personal spiritual guide. There's so much we miss. And God wants you to experience everything it has for you in this life, here and now. I know people say, well, I'm going to get it all when I get to heaven. No. You're going to get it when you get to heaven, yes, but you're going to get it here and now as well. He wants you to be so much here and now as well, in this life, here and now, that life is so much richer, life is so much fuller when we experience the presence of the living God in our lives here and now. So much better, so much richer here and now. So if I choose to follow Jesus, He leads me. He leads me in the right direction. And this is what the shepherd wants to do for you. Notice this verse, John 10:4 says, Jesus, the good shepherd, walks ahead of the sheep and they follow him for they recognize his voice. You know, in shepherding, the shepherd goes first. A lot different from when you are trying to be with cattle. I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. We had cattle. And if you've seen any of these movies on TV, the Western movies, whatever, you see cowboys. Okay, a shepherd's different from a cowboy. A cowboy, what cowboys do is they're behind the cattle, driving the cattle from behind. You've seen it. They got the horse and they got the whip and they're driving. They're pushing the cattle from behind. But a shepherd leads the sheep from the front. A shepherd is out front of the sheep and the sheep just follow the shepherd. They never drive them from behind. They just lead them from the front. And by the way, sheep, we had some shepherds in the area. I grew up in rural Wisconsin. Shepherds know sheep know the voice of the shepherd. You could walk up to that same herd, flock of sheep. You could walk up and you could say the same words the shepherd's saying and the sheep would pay no attention to you. But the shepherd says one word and those sheep know exactly who's speaking to them. The Bible says that Jesus said that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. The shepherd has got the voice and we follow the good shepherd. My sheep know me. They follow me. Look what it says in this next verse. Psalm 26:3 says, your constant love is my guide. And that's just not a verse for Valentine's Day. That's a verse for every day of the year. Jesus, your constant love for me is my guide. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because you love me. And here's number three. If I wander off or fall, Jesus finds me and rescues me. Now, I know none of us in here would ever wander off and fall. Okay, I get that. Those are the people who came to our service last night. Okay, I get that. Right. All of us wander off and fall. Pastor Kevin wanders off and falls. All of us. Look what the Bible says, next verse. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. It's human nature to wander off. I'm just curious how many parents we have in this place today. So first of all, let me start with online. If you're joining us online right now, wherever you may be in the world, if you're a parent, just put the word parent in the chat and then put the number of kids you have or that you're a parent to behind you in that chat. So let me ask you in this room, parents, let me see your hands if you're a parent. Come on, parents, let me see your hands in this room. Parent. Okay, lots of parents. Okay, parents, let me ask you a question, parents. Have you ever had to teach your child how to wander off? No, right? You never had to, have a conversation. Hey, let me tell you how to get lost in the mall. Never had to do that. Let me teach you how to get lost at Disney. Never had to do that. You know, we actually lost one of our kids at Disney. Our daughter, Sarah, she's 25 now. But when she was 4, we lost her at Disney. And I, as I was thinking about the story, and I put a spot in my notes for this story, I So I'm talking, we lost her 21 years ago, but it's still so fresh that when I was typing out this story in my notes, I had to push myself away from the computer and stop typing because I had such an adrenaline rush that came through my body. 21 years ago, I'm still feeling it like it happened yesterday. So we're at Disney and Sarah wandered away and we couldn't find her for the whole day. I'm just kidding. It wasn't a whole day. But I got you so good. You're going, Pastor Kevin, don't do that to my soul. Really, we lost her. And honestly, time, if you've ever lost a child, you know how time stands still. And it's hard for me to say how long it really was. It probably wasn't longer than a couple of minutes. But it felt like it was an hour. And she wandered off. And you know, back in the day before the pandemic, Disney was packed and it'll be packed again one day and tens of thousands of people and you can't see anybody. And like, I'm Sarah! And I'm just yelling her name. And but Disney employees are so well-trained that they found her and they just recognized that she must have been lost because she wasn't with any adults. And one of these employees just brought her here next to her. And about, I don't know how, like I said, maybe it was a minute or two that went by, but it felt like an hour. And I walked in and I saw Sarah right there next to this employee and she didn't even know she was lost. She looks up, she says, hi, Daddy. She's fine. I was the one having the heart attack. You know, she doesn't have to go through counseling and therapy. I do. She's fine. But kids wander off. And you know what? So do we. We wander off all the time. We just wander off. We simply just kind of wander away. Maybe we're online and we wander away to a website that we would not be happy to share with other people. Other people know we were at. We wander off. Maybe it's our language and perhaps sometimes we get angry and we say things we don't want to say, maybe to an insurance agent or somebody else. Or maybe it's our time with God. And maybe we once had this robust time with God. And it just, life happens and stuff happens and we get busy. And it's just like we don't have that same robust relationship with God anymore. What happens? We wander off. We just drift. But God says, I am the good shepherd. God says, I am going to find you. I am going to rescue you. And I am going to bring you back. Because that's what the good shepherd does. He finds you, he rescues you, and he brings you back into the fold because that's what the good shepherd does. Now, let me go back to this child getting lost thing for just a moment because I just want to have a little honesty in the house today. So how many of you, whether it's been for a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, how many of you parents, for any length of time, have ever lost a child? Can I see your hands? Come on, parents. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of bad parents in this house today. That's all I'm saying. So, parents, I want you to know that when you had your hands lifted right there, we took a picture. We're sending it to DCF, and they'll be calling. They'll be reaching out to all of you later. So look, okay, look, I'm not the only one that lost a child. So look, so after you lose a child, and then after the adrenaline rush is all over, okay, do you just like high five that child and say, hey, way to go? No, you bring them in and you have the talk. Now, I'm not talking about the birds and the bees talk. I'm talking about you have the talk with them. And you say, look, you cannot wander off like that. That's dangerous. You can't do that. You got to hold daddy's hand when you're in a crowd. You just can't do that. It's the talk. And what do? You correct your child. Why? Because you love them. See, here's a word we don't like. It's the word discipline. But we discipline our child because we love them. God disciplines you because he loves you. He disciplines me because he loves me. He will have the talk. He will have whatever he needs to have because he loves you. He will discipline you because he loves you. In fact, look what this next verse says. It says, I used to wander off until you, Lord, disciplined me. But now I closely follow your word. You are good and you only do good. So train me in your principles. See, when you get disciplined by a parent, it means they love you. Now, I know that some parents didn't give you the best forms of discipline, but they discipline you because they love you, not because they hate you. When God disciplines us because he loves us, not because he hates us. And God's discipline is always done in love. It's never done in anger. It's always done in love. See, discipline is good. See, punishment is when you've done something bad, like you're grounded for the rest of your life. I mean, none of you would ever say that, but you know, I might have said that once or twice. But discipline is so much different. Discipline is training and correction for the future, and it's always done in love. And some of you joining me in this room and online, some of you right now, you can tell a story. Looking back in your life, you can tell a story how something happened in your life. And when it happened, you hated it. Whatever the thing was, you said, this sucks. And you just hate it. But now you're looking back on whatever that was and you're going, oh, that thing that happened was the best thing that happened to me because it turned me back to where I needed to be. It forced me to go back to where I needed to be. It led me to go back where I needed to be. It led me back to where I needed to be. And some of you can tell a story. Man, over the course of these years, I've pastored this church. So many people. I remember this one particular couple, the guy in particular, went through a really, really, really tough financial time. And I was with them when they went through this process. Lost their house, lost their job, filed bankruptcy. And I mean, this went on for 3 years. And this guy came back to me. He said, Pastor Kevin, he said, when I was going through that 3 years, it was the worst time of my life. I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't want it. It was hell. He said, but looking back on that situation now, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. He said, because I was drifting away from my wife. I was drifting away from my kids. I was chasing the money. I was chasing the dream. He said, but that forced me back to put my life back to where my life needed to be. He said, now I'm back with God. Now I'm back with my wife. Now I'm back with my kids. He said, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Now, I'm not saying that everything that happens in your life like that is God trying to send you a message. Sometimes it's just simply life. But I am saying this. When something like that happens to us in our life that we didn't ask for, we didn't pray for, something happens, instead of asking why, we always ask why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Instead of asking why, ask what. And say, God, what are you trying to teach me, God? God, is there anything here right now you're trying to teach me, God? What are you trying to teach me? Because I'm telling you, God loves you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. Look at this last verse on your outline. Psalm 26:3 says, your constant love is my guide. Your faithfulness always leads me. Your constant love is my guide. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Would you pray with me? Would you take just a moment? Would you pray with me? And maybe you want to take a moment just to bow your heads and just to block out distractions. And those of you joining online, if you're able to just maybe close your eyes and just block out distractions right now, just take a moment. Just take a moment with God, because God is here. He's in this place. He's in this space, whatever place and space you may be in. God's here. And right now, can I just ask you right now, even as you're praying, if there has ever been a time in your life where something happened, where you hated it when it happened, but you look back at it now and you go, oh, yeah, That was God. Maybe it was a day ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 10 years ago. And you just right now, you just want to just thank God for that. Maybe you have never thanked God for that, but that was God loving you. That was God guiding you. That was God directing you, leading you back to where you needed to be. That was God. And maybe you just want to thank God for that right now. God, thank you for loving us. God, thank you for guiding us. And God, thank you that we are never a bother to you. Never. God, we are never a bother. No matter how many times. And some of you, I believe some of you joining me right now in the room and online, some of you have been, you've been following Jesus for years. I'm talking decades. But you've got this one thing that you can't seem to kick. And you don't want to bring it back to Jesus anymore. You said, I've brought it to him enough. And you feel like you're bothering him. And I'm telling you right now, you are never a bother to Jesus. Come to Jesus. His arms are wide open to you today. Come to Jesus. Some of you right now, you're coming back to Jesus today. On this Valentine's Day 2021, some of you are coming back to Jesus right now. You're just coming back to him right now. Today's your day to come back to Jesus. Those of you online, today's your day to come back to Jesus. And if there's never been a time in your life where you said, Jesus, I want to commit my life to following you, then why not today? Right here, right now, today. Just follow me in this simple prayer just inside. Say, Jesus, today, I follow you. Jesus, today, I commit my life to you. Jesus, today, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for bringing me back. Jesus, today, I sense your love. I feel your love. And Jesus, today, I say yes to you. Thank you, God, for your presence in this space and in our space today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.